Welcome to the KNEL Radio Podcast, your podcast for news, sports, music, and talk radio. KNEL Radio Podcast is your resource to local news and sports from the heart of Texas and the Texas Hill Country. Join us weekly for Hillbilly Hits radio show highlighting traditional country music and artists. And At Home with Debbie Rule, a talk show about home, family, and relationships. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference in your life today.
6 o'clock, we started as usual with a call to order, roll call and certification of a quorum. Then we proceeded with invocation and a pledge of allegiance. There were no public comments, although the room was full of folks. The reason there were no public comments is because they all wanted to talk about one of the agenda items, not something else, so they opted to wait to that point. We moved to the consent agenda, which was to approve the minutes of the special meeting on October the 4th and the regular meeting on October the 5th. Second item on the consent agenda was the National Domestic Violence Awareness Month proclamation. One of the council members wanted to wait on the approval of minutes because there was a change to be made to the minutes of one of those meetings, and we were short one member initially for a few minutes. So we separated those, passed the consent agenda, which was only the National Domestic Violence Awareness Month proclamation, and moved on. No presentations, no public hearing on the agenda. So we moved into the individual concerns. And as we proceeded, the fifth member of the council was present. And we'll go through a number of individual concerns and then go back and pick up that drop in the last line out of the minutes that were published in our packets. First item on the individual concerns, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the second and final reading of Ordinance 1329, amending the 2021-22 Brady Economic Development Corporation budget to fund the Brady Economic Development Corporation Project 2021-3 for Serenity Quilts. They had arranged with the EDC for a $100,000 1% loan from the EDC funds, and as the second reading was approved 5-0, just as the first reading was approved 5-0. Move to the next item, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the second and final reading of Ordinance Number 1330, amending the 2021-22 Brady Economic Development Corporation budget to fund the Brady Economic Development Corporation Project 2021-4, the Youngblood Automotive and Tire. That involved a $34,000 grant. I should go back to the first item. That was going to produce two jobs, and full-time jobs, and the Youngblood was going to produce three out of that. That was approved 5-0. Item C, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the first reading of Ordinance 1331 of the City of Brady, Texas, to amend the fiscal year 2022 budget that we recently approved by transferring unfinished fiscal year 2021 projects to the 2022 budget. We went through that discussion that was there with a number of documents to explain, covered by Lisa and Elrath, and then approved that 5-0. We went back and picked up the minutes, corrected the minutes, and approved those minutes 5-0. Then we moved on to item 7D, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the application process for city manager. We had a discussion on when the applications would be called for out there, how we would go about that. The question came up, what's our plan? My answer was, just like we have done the fire chief hiring and the police chief, you appoint a panel of folks. They read the applications as they come in. At some point, you decide you have adequate applications to start the interview process. That panel would select the people that they wanted to interview those folks, and then present basically a rank-ordered list of the top candidates that were there, present that to the city council, explain their process and their thoughts, and the council would approve or disapprove. Council chose not to do it that way. They chose to have the panel of people that was receiving the applications be the city council, rather than to approve action by a committee. The council wanted to look at all of those, sort through that same process, do the interviews also, and then decide by a vote from the council which of those applications would be selected as city manager. Timeline kind of open based on when you get the applications coming in and when you put it together. So that was approved unanimously to use the city council as the selection committee, basically, and to go through that process. That will get amended based on when we come back to the open session after the executive session. Item E, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding resolution 2021-22 to approve delivery of the coronavirus local fiscal recovery funds, also known as the CLFR, as opposed to the CFR, which was a different act, different pot of money, and some different rules that are easy to confuse. And this was the topic that most all the folks were interested in discussing. The discussion centered on concern about the strings attached to the money. After it was explained that, in fact, the money was offered through the Texas Department of Emergency Management, because we're a city smaller than 50,000, referred to as a NEU, non-entitled unit. Folks over 50,000 and counties and the state got their money as part of this fund directly from the Treasury deposited. And I'm assuming they did the same thing we did when the money was set before us, basically, or half the money, to be accurate, $656,000 and some change, being half of that $1.313 million that was allocated to us based on state actions to set an amount of money and then multiply that based on the population of the city to determine the amount of the funds. That was offered and accepted in accordance with our charter and our policies, city manager signed for the money. And that happened back in the August time frame. As people became more and more concerned about what strings might be attached, in particular, some of the concerns expressed was mandates for different things, including a mandate for the vaccinations that might have come out of it. Those strings were not attached to the money at this time, but a statement that said basically you will comply with federal rules and regulations associated with CLFR funds that were there. And so that concern drove a pretty emotional group that was there to provide a lot of input to us, a lot of discussion about when the funds needed to be returned. Our visitors to the council meeting were pretty adamant that they wanted it returned yesterday, with a letter from the lawyer that explained kind of why we were returning the money, and that we didn't want to have obligations associated with that.
This was the point of view of the folks who were in the city council session to express their opinion.
Yes.
Okay.
As part of public comments, yep, and their involvement in the discussion. So lots of discussion back and forth, took some time to get through that. And as we worked our way through it, motion at that point, and let me read it and get to the right page in my notes here, recommended action at the bottom of our action forms that we have as part of the packet. It's recommended that the City Council adopt Resolution 2021-21 if the decision, I emphasize, if the decision to keep and spend the funds delivered under the grant guidelines is acceptable to the council. So it was not acceptable to the council, so I called for the motion. No one made a motion, so that action failed. Then the question came up, can we, a council member, offer a new motion that says we, the council, direct the staff to return the money as soon as possible with a letter from the lawyer associated with that. That motion was made and seconded. I emphasized again as part of the discussion on the motion that at this point there are no mandates and no executive orders that pose all of the concerns that the folks that were there, the public that was there, and that we could, if those mandates were made, we were not going to spend the money, and we had until the end of December 2024 to obligate the money. If we were going to, we could wait and give the money back as late as that time. Council was proceeded with the vote to return immediately, and the motion passed 5-0, unanimous motion to give the money back. Then we moved to discussion, consideration, possible action regarding camping in city parks. A little bit of discussion on all of that. The item on the agenda was precipitated by some use of tents in Richards Park. So draft information was presented to the council about an ordinance that would clarify what you could and couldn't do, and the council discussed those things a little bit, and then in the end, the motion was to direct the council, get back to the right page here, to give staff a directive to develop an ordinance to bring back at a at this point unspecified time that would provide the draft ordinance for the council to vote on, but it's pretty much focused into some rules on how many days. Right now, the rules say that you can park your RV in the park for 10 consecutive days, and then you had to move on, but doesn't say that you can't move out for a day and come back. So that would be clarified to look at the possibility of perhaps 20 days per year, and then some exceptions would be allowed for certain things, but there would be no tent camping in any of the parks, only at the lake, and then some definitions on what a tent is in terms of that, with some exceptions for tents that are for vendors in like the goat cook-off. You want to leave the option for those folks to be able to put that vendor's tent up mm-hmm. during the goat yeah. cook-off, to be consistent with what we've done before. So there's some things that need to be clarified on that, defining the term camping very clearly. And then in the end, with written permission from the city manager or his or her designee, camping shall be allowed in a temporary encampment for youth groups established specifically for the purpose of learning and demonstrating camping skills. And like I said, city manager or the designated person could approve some exceptions based on the situation in the case. Passed that motion passed 5-0, and we moved to look at the staff reports very quickly, make some announcements. 11th of November, of course, is Veterans Day. Veterans Day is one of those unusual holidays in that we actually celebrate it on the day.
On the day.
Veterans Day. So I believe November the 11th is a Thursday.
That's
so
right.
The most important part, city management-wise, is Thursday's a trash pickup day that would be moved to Wednesday that week. And we'll remind everybody again during that week. I did not say the most important thing about Veterans Day is trash pickup. I said for the city guidance on things. That's I'm a veteran. I certainly believe you should celebrate Veterans Day, as we always have.
Yes, indeed.
Thanksgiving, of course, is Thursday and Friday, so those trash days will be adjusted also later in the month. Regular scheduled council meetings and all of those things are... I'm getting a message from somebody here to clear that. Sorry. On my cell phone, we completed the staff reports and took a break at 7:37 to allow the crowd to go about their other things as we got ready for the executive session. And in the meantime, in that recess that took about just over 20 minutes, we had a cake and some punch and a short reception for Dennis Job, our departing city manager, to celebrate his
time. The last city council session, wasn't it?
And so we started again at 8 o'clock with opening the session and then reading the executive session items that were required to read in open session. That I'll spare you all the total verbiage, but pursuant to section 551.071, consultation with an attorney, and the second item was pursuant to section 551.074, personnel matters that focused on city manager. So we went into executive session. We discussed the an item with the attorney as the first one, and then we discussion of city manager items. We closed that session, and I did not note the time. The secretary has that time, but it was a fairly lengthy discussion there, approaching 9 o'clock. As we finished that, we came out in open session, and then took the motion that we would not call for any applications for city manager until the 1st of June, 2022. So earlier in the meeting, in the open session, we had talked about the process, and in that discussion on the process, discussion about starting to receive applications as soon as we could advertise that through TML and whatever other means are appropriate. This motion trumps that and comes back and says we will not take any applications until the 1st of June. That gives the acting city manager basically, 5 plus 2, 7 months, with not being concerned that we're in the process of taking applications and considering a replacement or selection of Aaron Corbell, who is our acting city manager now, with all authority and responsibilities associated with that back from the previous council meeting. And so that motion carried 5-0, and we adjourned, and I believe the time of adjournment was about 9:10 as okay. We finished that session and cleaned up after ourselves and headed home.
Went home. To go back a minute to the issue of taking the money, this is money comes out of all of the COVID-19 Relief Act and all that stuff.
And, yeah.
Money was designated, sent for cities, counties all across the country. And
states, cities,
counties.
And counties, and then the smaller cities was a different category.
And so each, they sent you, they've already sent half the money that was sort of allocated from a city of Brady, which was 1.something million. They sent half of it already. It's been in the bank, hasn't been used, hasn't been touched.
Half of the 1.313 million was in the bank. Yeah.
$600,000 sitting in the bank. The idea being that cities and counties could use this money to sort of.
Well, let me.
Why was it sent?
What was the idea? Question. Let me find the right place expresses what you can use the money for. Deadline decides reporting requirements, funding. I had it just a minute ago and I didn't mark it.
Well, it was basically sort of coping with the problems created by and effects of the COVID-19 shutdown. And
it gave you part of the focus was basically infrastructure for water, wastewater, drainage, and broadband in rural areas.
And the this money's been sitting there. The there's been some issues raised before about strings that might be attached to taking federal money. And so the bottom line is that the city council had this on the agenda last night. A large group of people came to the city council, expressed an opinion, says, don't take the money. We don't want to take the money. And the possibility of those of strings. And the council agreed and voted to send the money back.
Yep.
What kind of strings were people concerned about?
Well, there's a lot of boilerplate that goes in with all of those kinds of grants.
Yeah.
That was there. It was grant money, basically, because there was no monetary participation by the city in that. We go through a little bit different process if, it's matching funds and that kind of thing that... That's part of that. So in this case, I think the statement that concerned everybody the most was that you will comply with all federal regulations and directives associated with this money, and that somebody that the president might come back and issue an executive order.
Well, that's been talked about, that they's
retroactive. And in the discussion, in part of this was, does that statement, which was not clear, does that statement mean up to this point all the directives, or does that mean directives as they may change or be created in the future? In that, so
and we don't know the answer to that, do we?
Right, that's really open-ended. A lot of those grants we know from taking the Department of Agriculture grants that very similar wording is used as part of that, and they put in all kinds of requirements and caveats with those grants that we got from the Agriculture Department to have different officers take different responsibilities about non-discrimination, equal treatment of folks, emphasis on everything. I don't remember that they used the term equity in any of those grants, and equity was not mentioned in the items that I read about this one, but the verbiage was vague enough that's what caused a lot of people concern and drove the discussion to give the money back.
There are, as I said, all the cities and all the counties have been allocated money, and some of them are taking the money. McCulloch County, I gather, took the money. I know Mason County did.
I wasn't sharp enough to point out that it's my understanding that the county has accepted the funds that they were given, and perhaps even spent some of it. I don't know that for sure.
I'm not sure of that either.
And so whether or not the city and the funds that we accepted would be exempt from the county's money that they got. Brady's in the county, so if the county spends that money, then it would appear to me that we have all those obligations because the county took the money.
That's an interesting point, isn't it?
But that's interesting, as you say. I'm still trying to find in all of these notes, because it specifically says, how does deadlines, reporting, right at the bottom of the page, item 21, It says, what must the funds be used for? I think it's worth reading that item as soon as I find it here. Okay. Answer. The American Rescue Plan requires the funds to be expended by December the 31st, 2026. That means, if you recall back in the earlier discussion, I said you have to basically commit the money by December 31st, 2024. So if you don't have all of the money allocated to spend on something in the plan, you don't actually have to spend it at that point. But if you don't have it all set up in where you're going to spend it by the 31st of December 2024, they will take back the money that you have not committed to something. And then if the money you have committed is not all actually spent by 31st of December 2026, they'll take
the money back.
The money that's still left in the pot. But it says the following purposes: to respond to public health emergency with respect to COVID-19 or its negative economic impact, including assistance to households, small businesses and nonprofits, or aid to impact industries such as tourism, travel, and hospitality. Now, it gets pretty specific in those things, yeah. But it opens the door for complying with those things. Item two in that is to respond to workers performing essential work during COVID-19 public health emergency by providing premium pay to eligible workers of the state, territory, or tribal government that are performing such essential work. And essential work is defined in the words there. Some folks said all work is essential. Well, in this case, essential work is defined in their document. By providing grants to eligible employers that have eligible workers who performed essential work. Now we're getting closer to two more items. For the provision of government services to the extent of reduction of revenue of such state, territory, or tribal government due to COVID-19 public health emergency relative to revenues collected in the most recent fiscal year of the state, territory, or tribal government prior to the emergency. So it opened the door to replacing revenues lost that you could document. You lost those revenues based on COVID. Mm-hmm. Example could be that you claimed that you lost revenue in sales tax because stores were closed,
right,
and that sort of thing. But you have to defend that and make it stick. And since we got more revenue this year than any year in the past 10 or so, except I think 2017 was a little bit higher, but it was higher than last year. And the last one, which is the meat of the thing, and the main thing that was mentioned when these funds were initially set aside, is to make necessary investments in water, sewer, or broadband infrastructure. And water, sewer, they slip drainage in there as part of that, because in a number of places, drainage is a big concern associated with both the Green New Deal and as well as other projects that are there. In West Texas, for instance, there's a lot of concern about drainage that comes up in the Water Development Board as part of that. So those four items, and like I said, the real meat of it is investments in water, sewer, and infrastructure or for broadband that we recently acquired some and so advances in that.
The other half of that is the basically the city council determined that the concern about onerous strings being attached to this acceptance of that money outweighs whatever benefit we might think we're going to get out of it.
And the comment was made both by a council member and the audience that this $1.313 million is about $500 per household, and the opinion with the folks that expressed that was not a significant amount. My opinion, $500 is pretty significant to me, but it's not overwhelming amount as we look at roughly 2,000 households in the city of Brady, just dividing that out of that $1.313 million. So it was not enough money to take the risk or to even wait to see if any of those actions might occur. The desire, and at a 5-0 vote, to give the money back as quickly as we can.
That's pretty unanimous.
That's about as unanimous as you get.
The other thing that occurs to me is, you know, we're involved in two major programs, wastewater and clean water, that are going to run, what, $40, $50 million when it's all said and done?
So a million dollars
is...
I think $29 million for the drinking water and 13 point something for the wastewater. And the wastewater plant's coming right along. If you go over on Ogilby Norton and walk over to the ridgeline, you can look down into the buildup that they're putting for the new wastewater treatment plant there. I did that Sunday afternoon and observed 28 deer graining, whitetails grazing in that field, one of which had a very impressive set of antlers there. So I don't know if that was one that escaped from Bill Nestle's ranch across the creek.
I don't know what it was,
but it was pretty impressive.
It's, you know, the AM transmitter's tower is down that way.
Yeah.
And on the road, and I was out there one day last week and saw, as you said, about 10 or 12 deer there on the site where the transmitter is. One of them was a buck with a very nice rack, as a matter of fact, as well. Could be the same one.
One other buck that I could see there from some distance away had a nice whitetail rack, but it was not... It didn't compare to the trophy buck, I would call it, that was there. There's no hunting in that area, incidentally.
By the way, no.
Bow hunting or firearms. And as I came down from the ridge and we drove on down to where Gildebrand is on Ogilby Norton, there were, 15 or 20 more deer grazing in that field right across the street from there. So, and the significant thing to me is I had driven out to the wastewater treatment plant a number of times for different purposes, and the deer didn't look very healthy that I had seen.
These deer
look very healthy, and so they seem to be doing fine as part of that. That's nothing to do with city council.
But
it's something else to brag about in the city of Brady in McCullough County.
I guess the point I was getting to is that the city is involved in two major projects, you know, $40+ million in two of them. And $1 million from the federal government is not going to solve paying that. That's not going to pay them all off. And it's so the concern, you know, is there. And people voted their Well, convictions,
the,
I guess.
The council voted unanimously, correct. And so that was it. I have to run away to go have a picture taken with the proclamation for Violence Awareness Month.
That's right.
For the Haven.
That's
so
right.
I will see you probably sometime later today.
Okay.
And thank you very much for the time.
Mayor, we appreciate you being here. We appreciate the time and giving us the complete rundown on what happened with the Brady City Council session last night.
Have a great day.
We shall. Thank you very much. Brady Mayor Tony Groves with us this morning here on the morning program.
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio Podcast, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.